Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Tuesday, November 22nd. 2022. I'm Naima Latif, and we are joining the White House for a press conference, an update on the development of the COVID care program and what people may need to do during this holiday season. We're joining a White House briefing with Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. And
Today I'm joined by White House COVID Coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha and Chief Medical Advisor to the President and NIAID Director, Dr. Fauci. As you all know, Dr. Fauci is retiring next month, and I'm honored, so honored, to have him join me today one more time at the podium. He's going to discuss the importance of getting your updated COVID vaccine shot ahead of the holidays. For so many Americans throughout our fight with COVID, Dr. Fauci has been a source of information and facts, but Dr. Fauci's leadership and legacy stretch far beyond the past couple of years, as you all have known him. It actually goes back even further, as I was just stating, whether it be HIV, AIDS, Ebola, or COVID-19, for close to four decades and under seven Republican and Democratic presidents, Dr. Fauci has always led with the science, and our country is stronger and healthier because of his leadership. Today, he's returned again to tell you a bit more about the science related to this updated COVID shot that you've heard us all talk about, and an important, clear message you've heard from him before, which is, please get vaccinated, get vaccinated. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce and welcome Dr. Fauci for his last run at the podium. I'm all yours, Dr. Fauci.
Thank you very much, Karine, for that really very, very kind introduction. It's really a great pleasure to be back here with you again, albeit, I believe, for the last time. But as Karine said, I'm going to spend the next just couple of minutes talking to you about the importance of getting an updated booster vaccine as we enter into the holiday season and the colder weeks and months of the late fall and early winter. So let's just talk very briefly about what we know about the vaccines, because we want to make our decisions really based on facts, evidence, and data. Are the vaccines safe? That keeps coming up. The answer is now, overwhelmingly, it should be off the table. There have been 13 billion doses of a COVID-19 vaccine that have been distributed worldwide, hundreds of millions in the United States, and there's robust safety monitoring systems that are in place, and clearly an extensive body of information clearly indicates that they're safe. Next, are they effective? I believe you are all aware of this. If you look at the striking data, overwhelmingly show the effectiveness of vaccines, particularly in preventing severe illness and death. And recent data that has come out indicate that if, in fact, you are vaccinated and boosted compared to an unvaccinated person, there's a 14 times lower risk of dying in the most recent BA.4/5 era compared to unvaccinated, and at least a 3 times lower risk of testing positive compared to the unvaccinated individuals. But then there's some issues that we have to deal with that are sometimes confusing to the American public. If that's such great data, why do you tell us that we should be for our own safety and that of our families and the community, get a booster shot. There are two issues that in some respects are unprecedented when it comes to infectious diseases. And that is, as good as the vaccine is, and as good as post-infection protection is, the immunity and protection wanes over time. Let me put it into some perspective for you. If you get vaccinated with measles or infected with measles, the duration of protection is measured at a minimum in decades and likely for a lifetime. That just happens to unfortunately not be the case when you're dealing with coronavirus and particularly SARS-CoV-2. So you need to update the protection that we know is good protection. Next, we have the complicating issue that we can't do anything about, is that you have the emergence every several months now, historically, of variants. Remember, Delta, Omicron, BA.4.5, BQ.1.1, the things that we're all hearing about and reading about and seeing. You don't have that with another example, just getting back to measles, which we're all familiar with. There are no variants of measles. I was got infected with measles when I was a youngster because I'm old enough to not be getting the vaccine. And that measles is the same measles that's circulating now in the developing world. It doesn't change. And that's the two major reasons for getting a booster. The booster is bivalent. People get confused with that word. What does bivalent mean? There's two components. One is the ancestral original vaccine that we all got. And the other is the updated BA.4.5. So then people ask appropriate questions. Do they really work? What are the parameters to see if they work? There are two parameters. One is what the virus, what the vaccine does in boosting an immune response. We refer to that in the medical circles as immune correlates. And then there's the real-world vaccine efficacy. If you look at the recent data that has now been coming out from the companies as well as academic investigators, it is clear now, despite initial bit of confusion, that the BA.4.5 bivalent booster, what we refer to as the updated vaccine, clearly induces a better response against BA.4.5 and the sublineages of BA.4.5 than does the ancestral strain. So from a pure immunological standpoint, it looks quite good. Clinical efficacy data from the CDC will be released. In fact, it already has been released. It was supposed to be released at 11:30, which is clinical efficacy data, looking at real-world data of hundreds of thousands of people, looking at the capability of the virus to protect against the real-world BA.4.5 that has been circulating. And we know that that is really quite good. So we have immunological data, and you have now clinical efficacy data. Everybody was asking the question, where's the clinical efficacy data? Now it has come out with the CDC MMWR this morning. So we know it's safe. We know that it is effective. So my message and my final message, maybe the final message I give you from this podium, is that please, for your own safety, for that of your family, get your updated COVID-19 shot as soon as you're eligible to protect yourself, your family, and your community. I urge you to visit vaccines.gov to find a location where you can easily get an updated vaccine. And please do it as soon as possible. Thank you.
Well, hard to follow Dr. Fauci, who I would argue has been the most important consequential public servant in the United States in the last half century, and a leader and a role model for so many of us. So, Tony, thank you. So thank you for reviewing the safety and effectiveness data. I will tell you, it is remarkable to me what data have come in the last month. I was here in front of all of you a couple of months ago talking about what we expected. All of the evidence that has come in the last month has far exceeded our expectations on the efficacy of these vaccines. And the safety data continues to be terrific. Today I want to focus on a new six-week sprint that the administration is announcing to get more Americans their updated shots before the cold and winter season really settles in. Now, I want to start off by saying we are heartened to say that we are not alone in this effort. Just yesterday, 12 of America's leading medical and clinical societies. I'm talking about the AMA. I'm talking about American College of Physicians, the American Association of Family Physicians. I'm not going to list them all 12. But they all joined together with one simple, strong recommendation for all Americans, which is go get your updated COVID vaccine shot and go get your annual flu shot right away. Now, why did they do that? Why did America's physicians, speaking as a unified voice, say that? Because they know the best way to save lives this holiday season is to ensure that all Americans, particularly seniors, get their updated COVID vaccine and their flu vaccine. Now, we've already had 35 million Americans have gotten their updated COVID vaccine, including 16 million seniors. And we are encouraged by steady and strong week-by-week numbers. We're seeing about 4 to 5 million Americans getting it every week. But we are working hard to reach even more Americans, especially older, more vulnerable Americans. So as I said, today we're launching a six-week sprint to help Americans get their updated shot by the end of the year. As part of this effort, with our limited resources that we have, we are making a series of announcements and a series of efforts to expand community-based COVID-19 vaccine efforts. So let me lay out some of them. We're announcing $350 million in funding to help community health centers meet people where they are with facts, with vaccines, through proven methods like partnerships with faith-based groups and mobile vaccine clinics. We're announcing an additional $125 million to help local aging and disability networks to get older and more vulnerable and disabled Americans vaccinated. This will include efforts at senior centers across our great country. The Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, is going to be issuing guidance today, reminding nursing homes that they are required to educate their residents on the benefits of COVID-19 vaccines, and they are required to offer vaccines to residents. And nursing homes that don't do these very basic things will be referred for greater oversight and possibly face enforcement action. We're doubling down on our trusted messengers work because we know that makes a difference. We're working with national and local organizations, state and public health departments, pharmacies. You're going to hear schools and colleges and universities announce that they're hosting clinics. All of this, we think, is going to make a difference. Also, what will make a difference is more paid media efforts by the Department of Health and Human Services, designed to reach tens of millions of Americans, for instance, that are watching the World Cup through television and through digital ads. Bottom line is that we're doing everything we can in the next 6 weeks to help families get their updated COVID shots by the end of the year, because it's the best protection for this winter. And remember, for a majority of Americans, this is going to be a once-a-year shot. One COVID shot, once a year, just like the flu shot. While I'm encouraged by the work that so many are doing, we need everybody to step up. We need to make protecting our loved ones an important part of the conversation we have around the Thanksgiving table, an important part of the conversation we have in the days and weeks ahead. Because here's what we know. If folks get their updated vaccines and they get treated, they have a breakthrough infection, we can prevent essentially every COVID death in America. That is a remarkable fact 2.5 years after we found this virus first in our country. But it's going to take all of us to make that happen. So please, don't wait. Get your COVID shot. Get your flu shot. That's why God gave you two arms. You can one in each arm if you want. Go to vaccines.gov, and let's do everything we all can to protect the American people. Thank you.
Okay. A couple questions. Dr. Jobs, why are they 6 weeks? Why is this necessary? Are the numbers lagging?
Now, look, we've had very consistent, as I said, about 4 to 5 million shots going in. There are a couple of things that, you know, we are obviously now entering a higher risk part of the year. Why? Because each of the last 2 years, we have seen a substantial increase in cases as we got into December and January. So this is a really important moment to announce this effort. We think that if people do this now and do this over the next couple of weeks, it's going to protect them over the holidays. So we think this is exactly the right time to make this. And the administration is obviously deeply committed to making sure we're doing everything we can to protect the American people.
For Dr. Fauci, I have two questions if I can. Hospitalizations for the flu at this point in the season are the highest in over a decade. Why is the flu so bad this year, and how much protection is the flu vaccine providing for those who have gotten it?
Yeah, well, let me answer the second question first, is that the vaccine is well matched to the circulating strain. So that, again, is another really good reason to tell people what Dr. Jar and I and others have been saying about get your flu vaccine, because that's one of the issues that we're going to be dealing with this winter that we can do something about. When you have seasons of very low flu, which got kind of bumped off the table by COVID, when you have respiratory illnesses that circulate, they sort of have niches that you very rarely have one and the other at its peak. So when we were at a peak with COVID, all the other respiratory illnesses, including RSV and including flu, were very, very low compared to other years. When you now open up in society, people now maybe are under vaccinated. Not everybody's wearing a mask. We're trying to get back and are getting back to some degree of normality. You almost have like a rebound of something that was very low for two seasons. If you look at the flu over the last couple of years, in the peak of the COVID back in 2020 and 2021, we were having the lowest flu seasons on record. So it's not surprising that we're seeing it return back.
One more, if you'll is your last appearance at the podium. You became a household name in large part because of your appearances here at the early stages of COVID. What do you want Americans to remember about your service in government?
Well, I think what I've accomplished in my 54 years at the NIH and my 38 years as the director of NIAID, although COVID is really, really very important, it is a fragment of the total 40 years that I've been doing it. So I'll let other people judge the value or not of my accomplishments. But what I would like people to remember about what I've done is that every day for all of those years, I've given it everything that I have, and I've never left anything on the field. So if they want to remember me, whether they judge rightly or wrongly what I've done, I gave it all I got for many decades.
Okay, I can ask quickly about also the XBB variant that's rising from India. Singapore, what should Americans expect as that variant continues to rise? And just to take a step back, I know you were encouraging folks here to get their latest booster, but should Americans expect what we've been seeing in terms of more cases, not as many hospitalizations? Just a step back, what should Americans expect when it comes to COVID?
Well, what Americans should expect is from our experience that you never can definitively say what to expect, but you should really take some comfort in knowing that we have within our wherewithal to mitigate anything that comes our way, because we have flu vaccines, we have COVID vaccines, we have testing, we have the option under certain circumstances with good judgment to wear masks where appropriate in indoor congregate settings. So we can do a lot to mitigate any surge. One thing we're encouraged with looking at other countries such as Singapore, which had a big XBB, they had increase in cases, but they did not have a concomitant major increase in hospitalizations. So we're hoping that a combination of people who've been infected and boosted and vaccinated, or people who've been vaccinated and boosted and not infected, that there's enough community protection that we're not going to see a repeat of what we saw last year at this time.
Booster effect.
The XBB is one that evades immune response as measured by antibody, which is one of the elements, not the only element of protection. Much more of cellular T cell responses protect you against severe disease. The protection is diminished multifold with XBB. If you look at the best, and then it goes down a bit with one, it goes down with BQ1.1, it goes down even more with XBB. It doesn't fall off the map, but it goes down. So you can expect some protection, but not the optimal protection.
Got April and then Alex in the back. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Fauci first. And Dr. First one, the issue of COVID and mask. We're not talking about mask wearing in this moment. Masks and the word mask have become a pejorative in some parts of this nation. Can you talk about the importance of mask wearing as you're worried about holidays and people gathering together? And then on the gatherings for Thanksgiving and Christmas, what do you recommend for families who may have some who are boosted and may have some who are not boosted, may have some who have not had a vaccine at all?
Well, I think your first and second question are related, because what it really tells you is that we have multiple interventions and multiple actions we can take to protect ourselves. So there's a whole spectrum. Masking is one of them. Now, we're not talking about requirements or mandating. We're talking about if you're in a situation and each individual person evaluates their own risk and that of the risk of their family members, for example, like a person who's 25-year-old living alone versus someone who has an elderly parent or grandparent or someone who's immune compromised. First of all, everybody should be vaccinated and boosted with flu and with COVID. Whether or not you wear a mask, or another thing we shouldn't underestimate is testing. So when we're gathering at a family gathering for Thanksgiving or for Christmas or for any other holiday as we get into the winter, it makes sense that you might want to get a test that day before you come into a place in which you might be infected and spread it, or other people who might be there, in order to protect. So there's masking is important, but you can count masking, vaccine, boosting, testing. All of that is part of the spectrum of protecting yourself and your family.
So what do you say about the word mask now being the pejorative in some communities?
No, it shouldn't be. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I know sometimes when you walk in and you have a mask and nobody has a mask, you kind of feel guilty. You shouldn't feel guilty. You look terrific, right?
I have no problem with you wearing a mask. Thank you.
Hold on. No, wait, I did not call on you, Stephen. Go ahead, Alex. You're next.
My first question is, last year, two questions. The first is, last year we were really kind of hoping that the holiday season would go well, sort of normal, and then Omicron came along and sort of disrupted a large chunk of January, February school flights. Are we seeing a similar dynamic, especially with some of these new subvariants coming along? And then my second question, Dr. Fauci, for you specifically, what was the most difficult moment of the pandemic response for you throughout the last 2.5 years?
Yeah, I'll start with the first, then obviously Dr. Fauci can answer the second. So the short answer is no. First of all, you can't predict with any certainty. So we don't know what Mother Nature is going to throw at us. That said, the variant, obviously, we're tracking them very closely. The good news is, even if you see a diminishing of our vaccines, they're still effective against these subvariants, way more effective than the original vaccine, right? So I feel very confident that if people continue to get vaccinated at good numbers, if people get boosted, we can absolutely have a very safe and healthy holiday season. But there's always a caveat here of, things out of the left field you can't predict and you can't, but nothing I have seen in the subvariants makes me believe that we can't manage our way through it effectively, especially if people step up and get their vaccine.
So that's a really difficult question to answer, but the most difficult because, we've all lived through almost 3 years of the most horrendous outbreak that we've experienced as a society in well over 100 years. But there are certain things that stand out. I mean, I could probably write an essay on all the things that were difficult times. But one of the things, as a physician whose goal in life is to care for patients and to prevent and treat illness and ameliorate suffering, is that I remember back in my days in medical school and when I was an intern and a resident, when a patient came in, whether or not the patient didn't like you, was angry with you, whether it was a rich person or a poor person, you treated everybody the same because you cared about them and you wanted everyone to walk out healthy. So when I see people in this country, because of the divisiveness in our country, of not getting vaccinated for reasons that have nothing to do with public health, but have to do because of divisiveness and ideological differences, as a physician, it pains me. Because I don't want to see anybody get infected. I don't want to see anybody hospitalized. And I don't want to see anybody die from COVID. Whether you're a far-right Republican or a far-left Democrat doesn't make any difference to me. I look upon it the same way as I did in the emergency room in the middle of New York City when I was taking care of everybody that was coming in off the street. So that's the thing that troubles me most about this.
Okay.
We have a process here. I'm not calling out on people who yell. And you're being disrespectful to your colleagues, and you're being disrespectful to our guests. I will not call on you if you yell. And also, you're taking time off the clock because Dr. Fauci has to leave in a couple of minutes. I'm done. I'm not getting into a back and forth with you. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Additional information that the White House is advocating regarding COVID shots and booster shots for this holiday season. The nation continues to have differing opinions regarding COVID. However, your choice is your free will. Until tomorrow, continue to enjoy the rest of your day. I'm Naima Latif. We'll see you tomorrow for On Air Daily News.